James chapter 5. And last time here we left off at this in James chapter 5 here and talking about in verses number 13 about those afflicted, those merry and praying and calling for the elders of the church to pray. The medication, get that, use that state of the art, whatever there's available medicine wise, use it. But understand that it's the prayer of the Lord that'll make it work. Amen. It'll be the working of God. We've got these folks in our prayer list. We pray that the Lord will bless and help them with health, with life, even from the cancers and such as that, that the Lord would help and heal them. Verse number 15, and it says here that, and the prayer of the prayer of faith, and then we talked about faith here in our, I believe in our Sunday school class, maybe our ABC's of Christian Growth class this afternoon, about faith. Faith is not this thing. It's not this just little wad of something. But faith is our confidence in the Lord that He will do something. That's faith. It's based on God and what He can do, His power, His ability, His promises. And so it's not about you and I straining and just hoping that a thing will happen. But it's faith in the Lord. We make our petition to God as He bids us do, and we pray that He will work. And the prayer of faith, the petition to God in faith, of faith, shall save the sick. They'll be healed. And the Lord shall raise him up. That's how it'll be facilitated. It'll be the Lord that'll do it. We've got some that are going to be going for tests this week, and we pray that the Lord will bless with those tests, that it might be successful, that what's going on with them, what's taking place in their bodies, that it might be discovered, so it might be remedied. But we'll praise the Lord for it, won't we? Amen. We'll thank the Lord for the Lord's blessing on the doctors, on the technology, because if it wasn't for Him, all the Lord has to do is if He just shifts things a little bit, they'll be looking square at it and won't be able to see it. The doctors, the technicians, the nurses, those that look to help. We pray the Lord open their eyes, that they will see it, they have understanding about what to do. The Lord will bless it. And it says here, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. They'll be granted healing, and the Lord shall raise him up. And there's this word, and if. And if. And if. I didn't put it there, but the Lord put it there, because sometimes it can be the case. That's the reason that the Lord puts it there. Not every time. But the Lord in this, there's a warning that's here for all of us. For me and for you, and if he hath committed sins, that's got him in this shape, that's got him in this problem, it's got her in this shape, got her in this problem, I think is the indication. And if they have committed sins, he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Prayer. Prayer to the Lord. Prayer for the Lord to deliver. Prayer to the Lord to heal. It goes on here in verse number 16. Confess your faults one to another. Oh my, this is the confessional closet, isn't it? No, if you've noticed, we don't have a confessional closet. We don't need a confessional closet, do we? No, because when the Lord saves us, faith, repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation is the beginning of a life of repentance and faith, isn't it? It is, isn't it? We will go on and repent. We will go on and have faith in the Lord to be able to work for Him, to live for Him, to be a witness for Him. We confess our sins before the Lord. We ask Him to forgive us of our sins. The only one I need to ask you to forgive me of something that I've done against you is when I've offended you, when I've done something against you. But I sure need to be repentant before the Lord too, don't I? Because in sinning against you, if you will, and offending you, I've sinned against the Lord. And so we need to know that. But here as far, I think that this is talking, and this word faults, if you look it up in the Greek, it's talking about sins. It's talking about transgressions. It's talking about where we have failed. But I think what the Scripture is talking to us there is that our kinship in Christ, so we mentioned this morning about our blood kinship in Christ should be that I ought to be able to go to a brother and with a problem that I have, say, "Brother, I'm having problems with this. Pray for me. Pray for me." Amen. Our sin should make us ashamed. Amen. If I've got sin in my life, it should make me ashamed. And it should make me ashamed, and we should be ashamed before the Lord, just outright. But the way that we work is that with some things, we're only ashamed if we get caught. And may the Lord help us. Amen. May the Lord help us that we be ashamed before the Lord. But we do have struggles, don't we? We do have a lack of faith. We do have things that give, some things will give you trouble that won't give me a lick of trouble. Some things give me trouble and I just would wrestle with, and it wouldn't even bother you. And what a blessing it is for us to be able to go to a brother, a sister, go to a sister. And I think that that's the way it should be and appropriate. Sometimes there's other things that are maybe okay, but something that just gives us trouble, that be able to go to a brother. What a blessing it is to go to a brother and say, "I'm having trouble with this, and I'm really struggling with this. Will you pray for me? I messed up in this regard the other day, and I've asked the Lord to help me, and I want you to pray for me too. Confess your faults." But see, what the world does, and when the world, when we buy after the way of the world and all that, we draw in, don't we? We don't want to admit. I don't want to admit that I've got these faults. I don't want to admit that I've got weakness. But listen, if you're here and your heart's beating and your blood's moving through your veins, you've got weakness. It's just the way it is. It's the way it is. And we're going to have weakness till we go on. You can ask some of the older ones. And I've heard older men preach and older brethren talk that the problems that they had maybe with their youth and in their youth and things with the eyes and things with the mind, they thought they'd get better when they got older. And they were so disappointed that when they got older, it didn't get any better. In some respects, maybe even got worse. And may the Lord help us. Amen. May the Lord help us in that. Confess your faults one to another. And don't go and tell it. Don't go and tell it all over the community and even all over the church and spread it around. Somebody comes to you in confidence, keep it in confidence. Right. The pastor maybe comes to you and to try to help you with a thing. Don't tell everybody else in the church, but keep it right there. If he's coming to you right, keep it there. And let it be dealt with there. Because a pastor with a heart or a brother or sister with a heart to help, and this the end of this passage is going to talk about that, is wanting to do just that, wanting to help. And so don't go telling it all around. If a thing's private, if it's personal, keep it that way. And let it work there. But rather than tell it, pray one for another. If I offend you, if you offend me, we need to pray one for another, don't we? We need to pray. Pray one for another that the Lord would help us to see the error of our way, right? Right, yeah. And pursue and ensue peace and that blessing. Pray one for another. And look what it says there, that ye may be healed. Verse 15 talked about healing. If there's been some sins committed that has brought this sickness down on this person, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Yes, and not every time that we get sick is it a result of sin that we've done from the standpoint of sowing and reaping, but it could be. It could be. It could be. That's the reason that the Lord tells us this in the Scripture. And the only one that can know is you and the Lord. I can't know for you. You can't know for me. We can't know for one another. But we ourselves can know, can't we? We can. And Lord being our helper, we're going to go on and use this as a launching point to look at some things in the Scripture that might help us in this regard. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The one that does spend some time in prayer, effectual fervent. How do you pray harder? You can maybe try to lift more, can't you? You can maybe try to push harder. We're not getting it in there. Lift harder to get that thing loaded up on that truck. But how do you pray harder? I think it's the attitude. It's all in the attitude, isn't it? Are we just like spewing out words for the sake of the obligation of prayer? Are we getting down and really talking to the Lord? You know what I'm saying? Talking to the Lord as a person. Are we like just throwing it up there in the air, hoping it'll stick? Or are we really talking to the Lord? Lord, talking to the Lord as the person that he is. Not bringing God down to being a man. I'm not saying that. But God is not a thing. He is a spirit. Yet he has manifested himself in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we look forward to see someday. Amen? He does move as a spirit amongst us, and praise his name for that. And he's not a man. He's greater than a man. He's not less than a man. He's greater than a man. And we can talk to him. And as we saw this morning in the Psalms, Psalm 69 there, we can cry before him too, can't we? We can pray to him. We can talk to him. We can talk to him better than we can talk to each other. Because you know what? We can be 100% pure, open, and honest with the Lord, can't we? Because there's not anything that he doesn't already know. Isn't that great? And with our spouse, I mean, from the standpoint of if you're married and you have a spouse, well, if you're married, you do have a spouse. So, yeah, it's kind of like me. I'll be willing to sing with you this morning. Sometimes I think of stuff, but I doesn't get to hear. Or sometimes stuff gets to hear that I don't think about. But our spouse should be our best friend. Our spouse should be our absolute best friend on this earth. Yeah. But then the Lord Jesus Christ should be better than that. That's not to the discredit of my wife. I love Clarissa. I've bore my heart to her as a husband, her as my wife. She is born and given her heart to me. There's nothing on this earth, you know, other than our relationship with the Lord, there's nothing more dear than that. We talked in our class this morning in Sunday school about the blessing of children and the family. But it started with marriage, and Lord being our helper, it's going to end with marriage, right? And I'm talking about death. I wasn't talking about anything else. But the children are there in the middle, and they're a heritage from the Lord and a blessing. But it started with marriage, it's going to end with marriage. You know, sometimes in this time here of children, couples lose track of how to deal with each other, relate to each other, and that the cultivation of that marriage gets lost and it wanes. It happens many times that when the children are gone and fly, that the marriage just kind of explodes because they don't know how to be married anymore. That can happen. And we need to work on our marriages. Amen. We need to know that. But confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That one that speaks to the Lord, that prays to the Lord, believing that they will receive it. The effectual fervent prayer. Knowing that God can move and work. All he's got to do is want to. It's not a matter that he doesn't have the power. It's just a matter of, does he want to? And we beseech him, don't we? You've heard me pray. I believe, I don't mean that to brag about myself, but that's what I believe, is God wants to hear from you and me, his children. And I ask him, I beg him that it please him to do a thing, that he would be pleased to move and work. I think that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ prayed. He prayed specifically. And he prayed for what he wanted. And of course, being God and the Son and in the flesh, he prayed perfectly according to the will of the Lord. I don't. I want to, but I don't all the time. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ is there making intercession, right? Jesus Christ says, no, you don't need that, Father. So he needs this. Or, yeah, that he needs. Answer that. How else will that intercession go, right? Isn't that intercession? He's there saying, no, he doesn't need that. No way, no how. He's praying amiss there. But what he needs is this. Father, don't answer that one yet. Wait on that one. Yes, Father, that one's needed and this too. Isn't that intercession? Yes. Oh, praise the Lord for that. It's a blessing. It's a blessing that he's there doing that for us. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, one that has been justified, one that is righteous, one that has been saved. I believe that the Lord hears everything. But I tell you what, the ones we need praying for us are saved Baptists. Amen. Saved Baptists, children of God, and placed by him in his church. Because they've been justified. They've been saved. They got a connection. They got the Spirit of God living within. And if they're a member of one of the Lord's New Testament churches, they got that Holy Spirit work of the Comforter going on in their life too. And God is most interested in them. And if they live and seek to please the Lord and honor him in all things, I think that that's what that's talking about here. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. You think the Lord's stingy? Is the Lord up there hoarding up blessings and saying, I don't want to give that out. Kind of running low on that one. No, the Lord's not that way, is he? Amen. He's got more than mine and yours cup and barrel can hold. And James has even talked to us about asking amiss or not asking at all. And then an example of effectual, fervent prayer. An example of effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availing much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was a man just like you and I. Flesh and blood. He had wants, he had desires. He had doubts. He had failures. He had infirmity in the flesh. He's just like you and me. He wasn't a super Christian. No such thing as super saints, is there? No. No such thing as a super saint. We all have the submission of sanctification, maybe to a different degree in our lives. How much one is submitted to the Lord relative to another, but that's not connected. But some may have said, you know, I want to serve the Lord with everything I've got. Some say, well, I want to serve the Lord right here, but I got problems over here. Other one has problems over there. The degree of sanctification, setting ourselves apart, may be different. And the growth of the child of God is different. Nathan and Miranda are growing different than Aaron and Megan. The growth is always different. It's that way spiritually too. We need to make sure that we are growing. But Elijah was a man like you and I, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Somebody would say, well, that was the will of God, and that's how God used him. True. But did he pray? Uh-huh. Did he see a need to pray to stop the rain? Uh-huh. Did he? Uh-huh. Now, if you're the prophet in the days of Ahab that stopped the rain for 3.5 years, are you going to feel some pressure from the inhabitants of the land? When you walk down the road to this town and walk down the road to this town and walk down the road to the next town and see people's cattle drying up and see people's crops withering away and seeing people hungry, Are you going to have some doubt? Are you going to feel the burden of carrying a load? Yeah. But that's what the Lord wanted done. And Joshua or Elijah was the means that God used to bring it to pass. And don't you know the man was thankful for the day that the Lord said, it's time to pray to start the rain. But the Lord wanted, brought it to a point, didn't he? He did. Turn over here real quick to 1 Kings chapter 18. I want us to see here and just take a quick look about how it was that Elijah prayed. The Muslims have their prayer rugs and pray to the east, I believe, and towards Mecca. Different religions pray, and the posture in which they pray is important to what they do. It's part of their religion. It's part of what they're trying to accomplish there. And of course, they're not praying to God. We know that. They need salvation. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not against them as a person. They need to be saved. But the way that they pursue is devilish. It's devilish. The Scripture's clear about that. But yet, although the posture is not the prayer, the body language does speak when a person does want to get a hold of the Lord, and the time that we take and the posture that we assume out of just reverence and desire to, if I may say, reach the Lord, to show the Lord that we're really serious. When the heart's right, the posture will speak to that effect. And listen to what this man of God did. Here in 1 Kings chapter 18, we pick it up in verse 41. 1 Kings 18, verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. That man, full-grown man, a man of esteemed honor because he was a prophet of the Lord. The Lord had just given a great victory over the prophets of Baal, hadn't he? And he cast himself down on the ground, out there in the open, and prayed that God would send rain. Did he care what his servant thought about him? No. Did he care if anybody was looking? No. He wanted to get in touch with the Lord. And he sent the servant and says, what's it look like? He says, no rain. He kept on praying, didn't he? So what's it look like? Go look. No rain. What's it say? And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud. What was it he said in verse 43? He said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. Did that seven times. And as he was there on the ground with his head between his knees, praying to God to send the rain. Was Elijah a wicked prophet of God? No. He was a righteous man and holy, wasn't he? It was known that Elijah was God's man. It was known that Elijah didn't go around and live a promiscuous, wicked, sinful life. It was known that Elijah held his tongue and did not curse or take God's name in vain. It was known that Elijah represented the word of God and represented God as his man. It was known that he desired and pursued righteousness in the way of God. Did Elijah play politics? Did Elijah, for the sake of the appearance in the community, seek to say the right words? Not to be rude. No, he represented God. and he represented the truth, didn't he? And it was known. Was his prayer fervent? Yeah. Because he knew Israel needed rain. And he knew that the Lord needed to work. He knew that God needed to work on the people. You know what? I wonder if Elijah wasn't so much concerned about the rain as he was concerned about the people. The Lord had blessed finally, and I say that way, this dearth, this drought is upon the land, and the Lord blessed with this victory over the prophets of Baal, what, 450 of them? And they made that sacrifice to God. There was a man in olden days, Elijah was his name. Because that sin did so abound, he prayed and stopped the rain. And for 3 years or more, we're told, they never had a shower. For God in heaven answered then Elijah's prayer of power. Elijah's God still lives today, oh blessed be his name. And when his children to him pray, he answers still the same. Yes, he controls the universe, all things obey his word. And when by faith we call on him, our humble prayer is heard. He gathered all the priests of Baal to call upon their God. They cried to him the whole day long. He answered not a word. But when Elijah called on God before the people there, the Lord sent down the fire from heaven because he heard his prayer. Elijah's God still lives today. Oh, blessed be his name. And when his children to him pray, he answers still the same. Yes, he controls the universe. All things obey his word. And when by faith we call on him, our humble prayer is heard. Then to the top of Carmel's mount, the holy prophet went and prayed unto the Lord again that rain once more be sent. He poured his heart out to his God, nor was his prayer in vain. The clouds again in heaven were seen, God sent a mighty rain. Elijah's God still lives today, oh blessed be his name. And when his children to him pray, he answers still the same. Yes, he controls the universe, all things obey his word. And when by faith we call on him, our humble prayer is heard. Amen. Amen. That's Elijah. He lived for the Lord. He served the Lord. And he prayed. And prayed and sent his servant 7 times. Look towards the sea. Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and said, there's nothing. And he did it in verse 44, and it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And Elijah says, well, no rain today. A little cloud, no bigger than a man's hand. I wonder if it's not talking about when he just held up his hand. That's as big as the cloud was. What's it say? He was a man of faith, wasn't he? And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. Oh, don't you love that? Do you want the hand of the Lord to be upon you? Have faith in God. Have faith in the Lord and that not our prayer that does something. Say a little prayer for me. We would hear that all the time where we lived. Catholics would say that. Say a little prayer for me. I tell you what, I want you to pray to God for me. And that's what Elijah did. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Oh, there was a mighty rain, wasn't there? And the Lord blessed. Back in James chapter 5, an example given there of effectual, fervent prayer. And may the Lord bless us that we ourselves would be guilty of that. Oh, I need to pray more. I do. I need to pray more than I do. And we need to pray that the Lord will work. Listen, you know 2 Chronicles chapter 7, don't you? If my people, which are called by my name. Because the Lord says, that's who I'm going to hear to do and to move and to work. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Not work it out their own way, but humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Speaking about righteousness, isn't it? Speaking about fervency. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. Doesn't that sound like what James has been saying? We need our sins forgiven. I need my sins forgiven so my prayer will be heard and honored by the Lord and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. In James 5:17, Elijah was a man subject like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you saved, err from the truth, and one convert him. If any of you go away from the truth, and one of your brothers, one of your sisters, oh, if the Lord would give us spirituality enough that in a right way we could come up beside our brother, come up beside our sister and say, brother, sister, consider the word of God and consider your way and take it up with the Lord and see if what I think I'm seeing is true. If the Lord would grant us a heart and an ability to do that right, if the Lord would grant us a heart and a desire and ability to receive that right, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, one turn him, that word convert, by what God says, we've seen that in this passage, let him know that he which converteth or turneth the sinner, which we all are, from the error of his way, shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. I think that's talking about, I think we could take that and we can apply it to witnessing to those that are not saved. But I think we can apply that to helping out one another. Helping out one another. Is our relationship, our kinship in the Lord close enough and that we can do that? And help one another that way, that we can receive that one from another, that we can offer that one to another to be a help, to be able to approach one another and do such a thing. Listen, I didn't tag this on to the end of this chapter. The Lord put it here. The Lord put it here. Brethren, if any of you, that's you and me, do err from the truth, and one, turn him, convert him. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way might just save a soul from getting killed. Might just save a soul from going off and getting off into a sin that would just take him and swallow him up. And as the Scripture says, in the context of the Scripture, that they might even die before their time. Isn't that what the Lord said about the Lord's Supper to the church at Corinth? That there were some weak, that there were some sick, that there were some that had died. Isn't that what James has spoken to us here, that one that is sick, that is the Lord's, might be sick because of their sin? And prayer to the Lord for forgiveness and prayer to the Lord for healing. Might it be in verse number 16 that my sin might be such that it might make me, my body ill and I need to be healed. I need to be turned from my sin, and I need to be healed by the Lord. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. This is in parallel, I believe, to a passage in Galatians. Let's turn over here and just happen to think of this. Chapter 6. It's in this same vein. It may be a little bit different a time and a situation that it might involve an individual, as far as maybe they've even been disciplined or from the church or have become very wayward. But here in Galatians chapter 6, I believe it's in parallel with what we read there in James, those last two verses. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Because it can happen to any one of us. It can happen to me. It can happen to you. But we need to be spiritual such that we can do it. We need to be spiritual such that we can receive it. And know that our brothers and sisters in Christ do care for one. We do care one for another. I want your good as your pastor. I want your good as your brother. Lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is that law of Christ? Love your neighbor. And for sure your brother, as yourself, amen? I want good for my skin, and I want good for your skin too, and for your life. Here in the book of James, let's just do a real quick review. Chapter 1, count it all joy when we fall into different kinds of trials. Blessed is the man, in chapter 1, verse 12, that endures temptation to sin. God doesn't tempt to sin, but God does test us and try us. Consider Job. Know that temptation to sin is always from Satan. It's always from the depravity of the wickedness of the flesh and the wickedness of the old man, from the world, from Satan. Good gifts come from God. We need to put away sin out of our lives. In verse 22 of chapter 1, we need to be doers of the word and not just hearers and containers with it rattling around in us. We need to take the word of God and apply it to living in life. I tell you what, that's the greatest challenge for the child of God, is to take what God says and put it to work in life. That's what we've got, folks. That's what we need to be about. You can get in such a shape if you and I don't apply the Word of God to our lives, that we can get to where we don't know where we're from and who we're from. We need to judge things according to what the Lord says. We need to understand what the service of the Lord is. And we need to control our tongue. Our tongue. Chapter 2, don't respect persons. Don't pick this one over this one, this one over this one. This one over this one, this one over this one. Sometimes there's a case where people have more in common and maybe they get along. But as your pastor, may God be my helper, I do not want to respect persons one over another, over the membership of the church. I do not want to do that. And God help me that I not do that. And there may be some of us that have more in common. Maybe we, the time of our life, the age of our life, our situation with my wife and myself and our family, maybe there's things that click about you and your family and our family because we're in the same time of life, possibly. And there might be things that are just that way, personality-wise. But listen, I don't want to be a respecter of the person. I don't want to prefer one over the other. I want to be a good pastor to you. I love you. And I want good things for you. But there is an element there that I can only help you as much as you'll let me help you. That's there. That's there and that's real. And may the Lord help us and bless us together. Not be a respecter of persons. Not be partial. Not judge things in the way that we think and what we think is right. The way of the world, the philosophy of the world. But take a look at things. When we have to deal with things, what does God say? Don't be a respecter of persons, chapter 2 speaks about. And pursue that law of liberty. We've been freed to serve the Lord. Consider about our faith that we claim. And if there are those of our, especially of our, of the household of faith, of our brothers and sisters, and we just talk about helping them, but we're not willing or we don't move up or step up to physically help them for their need. May the Lord help us to see that. May the Lord help us to see that what we do shows what we believe. Not what we say, but what we do. Our works speak for what we believe. What you and I believe, our care one for another is manifested by what we do. By what we do. Chapter 3, watch out for your mouth. Watch out for our tongue. Watch out for my tongue. With the tongue, the verse here in chapter 3, verse number 10, out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. We need to speak right things, good things, edifying things, things for the truth. No bittering and envy in our hearts, verse 14, and don't lie against the truth. Don't take the wisdom of the world that is sensual and earthly and devilish. In verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. And may God help us that we not have divisions and schisms and factions in the church, but that we be together. The wisdom that is from above, verse 17, is first pure, then peaceable and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. We need to be about growing and exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. And then in chapter 4, wars and fightings and things amongst us. Why do they come? It's because we're pursuing what we want. We don't need to pursue what we want, what Jim Duke wants. We need to pursue what the Lord wants, what God wants for us as a church, what God wants for us as a people. And we have not because we ask not. And then if our heart's not right, we ask for things that we just might consume it ourselves. May the Lord help us that it not be that way. He chides these that he writes to, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? I've run into a situation where folks don't understand about spiritual fornication. But we can be fornicators in the flesh, but we can be fornicators in our heart. Fornication of the flesh is, it's really a symptom of the problem, isn't it? A heart problem. How is our doctrine? How is what we believe? How is it? What is it that we hold to? And what is that righteousness that we pursue? What's it founded on? And how close do we want to walk to the Lord? We want to be, as I mentioned this morning, we want to be a minimalist and just walk out there on the edge, just where it's just kind of safe? Or do we want to get as close to the Lord as we can? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. And we don't need to be that way. We need to draw nigh to God. It tells us here in chapter 4 about submission to the Lord, resisting the devil, drawing nigh to him, looking to him, humbling ourselves in his sight, and judging things right according to what the Lord says. Not boasting, not bragging about what we're going to do, but praising God for what he's done and what he's promised, and thankful to the Lord that we can bring our petition before him and ask him to work, even in an old wretch and wicked thing like me, that he can work. And then to those that have been blessed with means and much of the things of this world. And in our country, it is such that compared to many of the world, everybody in our country is rich. Where missionaries are asking in their mission reports and letters that they just might have enough finances to buy a bicycle so they can get around. And many of us own two vehicles, maybe even three. And there they're wanting money so maybe they can just buy a moped so they can get around. It pretty much applies to all of us in this country. With that we have, may the Lord help us. The Lord's given us means that we use it right. That we use it, what the blessing and provision that the Lord's given us for the furtherance of His kingdom. Amen. That's what we're here to use it for. And to hang on to it loose, not tight, but loose. Knowing that the Lord gave it, as Job said, the Lord gave it and the Lord can take it away. And if the Lord does take it away, may God help us that we would yet bless His name. Amen. A person is not measured before the Lord by the things that they possess, but by the heart, by the desire and service to the Lord. May the Lord help us that we obey the law of the land, and not grumble about it, not mumble about it, but do and work and that which we have to work in the system that we've been blessed to live in. And if a thing is wrong and a thing needs to be changed, that's our opinion, that we abide by it as long as it's not contrary to the Scripture, even if it is unfair. Because the Lord endured unfair things. And we, when unfair things come our way, we need to endure them well also. And then in our system, if we have the opportunity to work to change it, work to change it. That's okay. But be a good representative of the Lord in the meantime. And don't fuss about the law and about those things that we have on it. Be patient. Wait for the coming of the Lord. Don't give up. Don't go weary in well-doing, as the brother said. But look for the return of the Lord. Don't grudge against each other. Remember the patience of Job. Remember the suffering of the prophets. Let our yea be yea and our nay be nay. Let us pray one for another. Let us introspect our lives. And let us help one another as we walk the narrow way together. Amen? That's what we're walking, is the narrow way, right? We're walking the narrow way. Walking the narrow way that ends up being with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not the broad way that we've been rescued from, but walking the narrow way. And it's narrow for a reason, because it's the way of righteousness. The way of wickedness and the way of sin is broad. You can pursue after sin and wickedness about any way you want to. But the narrow way with the Lord, that way that the Lord walks, it is narrow. But it is the way of life. Amen? Our study of James, I hope it's been a help to you. I don't want to bring things, especially a series like this, that's tedious. I hope that we've been able to maybe see some things that maybe you haven't seen before, or maybe some things renewed. That's the way it is with me. I was blessed to see a thing and talked to it by my pastor or some other that maybe preached on it, and then it got away from me. It slipped away. And so we need things renewed, or we need things opened up. And I hope it's been a blessing to you. I hope it's not been tedious and wearisome. Pray for me that the Lord will help us as we, on Sunday evenings, as we go to the next thing that we're going to deal with, that it might be a help to us. We might see some things out of the Word of the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to repent of your sins and trust in Him. Repent of your sins. You're guilty before God, and you need a Savior. One day, your heart's going to quit beating. Brother Jim, I'm young. I've got life in front of me. I've got life in front of me, and it's just wide open all my life. You know what? I kind of remember what it was back when I was in high school, And how in the world could I go from 18 to 45? It happened like that. That's the way it'll be with you.